Coming on David and Goliath. Now, if I was going to speak, had more time to speak, needed tonight, all right? I would give you an outline to speak on the outline. And it's very simple, and the great conflict of David and Goliath. There's a champion, he's called, Goliath is called a champion of the Philistines. You know, the world is filled with champions, right? And so here's a champion coming out challenging the armies of Israel and above all, challenging God. And that's a serious thing. We would talk about the conflict and we might say a little bit about that. We'll talk about the confidence of David and we could talk about the conquest, that is, the conqueror. He's a victor over that great man, that great giant. But we'll just take a couple of thoughts. When David, when he came, remember to bring gifts, certain things, food for his brethren, as well as for the captain of the army. Remember, he said, is there not a cause? You know, let me tell you something. The Christians have the greatest cause in the world to really live by and to promote, to preach, to tell others. The cause is that Christ came into the world and he gave himself for us. Calvary covers it all, covers our sin. The cause of Christianity is the greatest cause in the world. And we have a tremendous cause. All right, let's say a little bit about the champion with the time that we have before us. And we better read a couple of verses first. I was going to read as we went on, but I'll just read it first. All right, 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels and a shield. He stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man yourself, and let him come down to me. There's a conflict. There's a battle. Verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, all right, that we may fight together. Turn over, or go down the page a bit. Verse 16, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. It was a continual threat to Israel. He continued it day in and day out. That loud, thunderous voice of this huge man. The devil is always threatening Christians today. However, look down again. Verse 20, so David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things that went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the camp of the army with going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. Apparently they didn't fight. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. That was Israel, the army of Israel, okay? They ran. Verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep? You know, minimizing or making him feel small, those few sheep. You know, your little boy, why did you come? In the wilderness, I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? I love that verse. Oh, we've got to go down. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day The Lord will deliver you into my hand. Isn't that wonderful? Just a young man. Of course, we have 48, the real conquest. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Israel ran away. David ran too. You see the difference of David and the army of Israel? And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. You know the rest of the story, how he cut off his head and took the head to the city to show that he had conquered the Philistine. Now after the giant was dead, did you notice? And all the armies of Israel began to run after the Philistines. You know, a lot of folk are like that, don't they? Sometimes we sort of want to fight, want to get in the battle after the victory has been won. The battle has been fought and been won. All right, briefly, we want to talk about this man. I'm going to ask Gideon to come up here. Do you know, come up, Gideon. Thank the Lord, it was just a fracture. He's healing quite well, strong young man. Gideon, you weigh about what?
80
pounds. All right. The reason I'm giving this object lesson, because we hear about a giant and a spear. You know the iron head of Goliath. The spear itself, the iron, weighed more than Gideon. Can you imagine that? Did you realize that 600 shekels would come heavier than him? But long, of course, and sharp, but very heavy. The beam was like a weaver's beam, very round. Just, can you imagine that great spear in the hands of the giant? Now, this may stun you a little more. His coat of armor and all the armor he had on, the helmet, and all, do you know how, any idea, anybody would like to take a guess how much all of his armor weighed? I've got no prize for you. I might have to send you to Mark. Anybody would like to take a guess? If you come near it, we can't be exact. But you got any idea? Quickly now, we don't have much time. Take a guess. 150 what? Pounds? No, actually it's 5,000 shekels. That's what's so staggering. But what would that be in pounds today? Anybody would like to take a guess? All right. Pardon? What did he say? 500 pounds? Well, you're halfway there, or nearly halfway there. It would be about 8 times the weight of Gideon. Can you imagine that? That is, if they calculate what we call 4 ounces to a shekel. Mind you, if you've given a king gold and you weighed the gold, what they call the king's shekel would be 8 ounces. But the common shekel was only 4 ounces. Now, my mathematics not too good, but you figure it out yourself and see what you can come to. But can you imagine? It's impossible. He couldn't hold up all of that armor. That's what the Bible says. Now, let's see if I can. I used to be 5 feet, from here now, 5'7", but I'm shrunk quite a bit. This is 5'6". So you can see I'm gone down a couple of inches, just a few years. When you get older, you do shrink, by the way. I don't know if you realize that. Your vertebrae cave in a bit, and you're just not as tall. Sometimes you slouch, and even makes it worse. But just imagine my height. Okay, getting this where I need your help while we get there. Well, let's see now. Yeah, let's get the height of Goliath. Hold that up for me, like that. Oh, can you put your hand up here? Well, that doesn't hurt you, eh? Good boy. This is where I need Brother Roddy for a little bit of carpentry. Let's see now. Move your fingers. Now I got him. See if I can get it in. Just so he won't fall down. I may not need to go too far. That is 9.5 feet. That's how tall Mr. Goliath was. How would you like to meet a man like that? She'd opened her mouth so wide, she never dreamed he was that high, eh? You know, we sing David had a little sling, and we talk about a giant. But sometimes a little object lesson gives us an idea. Well, one thing, Gideon, lower it down a bit. We can't leave him up there like that. Let's put a hat on him. This is not Pindus, by the way, custom brokerage. Yeah, now it looks a little better. Yeah, I can't. His head will get kind of cold. That's good. 9.5 feet. How much you think he weighed? Take a guess. Bible doesn't say. Pardon? 1,000? Maybe a little high. 800? It could be anywhere from 500 to 800. If he was only 500 pounds, he would be skinny. He wouldn't really be big at all. Well, we don't know exactly. But let's say between 500 and 750. All right? Now, 500 would make him really on the thin side. Not as big as you think, but no less than 500 pounds. Maybe between 500 and 750. Now that's a big man. Champion of the Philistines. And here David comes up, just a lad, maybe 17, I'm not sure. And he comes up from his sheep, and his brother says, "We know what you've come to do, spy out the land. I know the pride of your heart and the insolence of your heart. You ought to stay home." He says, What's happening? Oh, these men in the army said, "There's a giant out there. He's defying the armies of Israel, and he's defying God." And David said, "Is there no cause? Otherwise, don't you believe that God is on your side?" Now, first of all, there are a lot of giants in our life, aren't there? Giants of certain temptations. Young people are faced with the giants of drink, giants of drugs, of all other kinds of pleasure that are sinful. There are giants that we battle every day, far worse than Goliath. They'll bring you down and bring you down fast. And, of course, there are many other temptations as well. You can just use your imagination. But David, he had proven the power of God in his life. That's why he told King Saul how that he took a lion and he tore it to pieces, his jaw, and a bear that he slew just to protect his sheep. David had confidence, not so much in himself. That's why he told the giant, "You come to me with your armor, your spear, your javelin, and your sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord." And young people, that is true today in every aspect of our life. It's always the strength of the Lord. You can't fight Goliath, the temptations, in your own strength. You tried, you miserably failed. But in the strength of the Lord and the might of the Lord. And he said, "You little stripling, come out to me. Who do you think I am?" I can imagine that voice thundering 40 days across the valley, frightening the Israelites. But David seemed so calm. He runs toward the giant and the armies of the Philistines, and whatever distance, I'm not sure. And he took out that smooth stone, and he was used to his sling. He tried the armor of Saul. He says, "I've never tested, proved it," and it was too heavy for him, no doubt about that. And he took his sling, and I am told, most Bible scholars believe, it wasn't take your sling like that. It was more like this way. And you get far more strength. And however, when he let that thing go, that stone soared right up to the center of the head of Goliath and actually sunk into his head. And that's what killed him. And he fell to the ground. It just goes to show you the faith of David in the God of Israel. Now, he could have missed, couldn't he? But God directed that stone. And the wisdom of a young man that believed God. A young man that put all his trust in the living God. And so too, if we want victory over temptation, our faith, our trust must be in the living God. Thank you, Gideon. That didn't make you too uncomfortable, did it? We're so glad you're feeling better. You're home. You'll be all right. Let's give him a hand, all right? Help me out. Yes, very good. Thank you so much. All right. So lesson then to learn, as the Christian has a cause. And we must know what that cause is, and with the help of the Lord seek to live for that cause. Now that we're Christians, we can think a lot of causes. To live for Him, witness for Him, work for Him, sacrificial for Him, or sacrifice for Him in our daily life, and take up the banner, the greatest banner of the cross, the banner of Calvary, and witness to people about us and let them know that there is, that the Lord Jesus died for them and that He loves them. Shall we pray for prayer? Father, we thank You again for Your love, Your kindness. Thank You for our young people. Thank You for the songs that were sung tonight and the blessing to our own hearts. We pray indeed, O God, that You bless this simple but profound truth of David and Goliath, that faith in the living God was the greatest source of his strength. He realized he didn't go in the strength of a sling, but rather in the strength of the Savior. And we thank You for this. May we learn this lesson in our life as well with the giants that we face day by day. If they're ever to be toppled or destroyed, it is through the power of Almighty God. Bless our young people. We thank You for them. Pray that You preserve them through this season of the year, and You'll be a blessing to them. And then, Father, should there be any in our company tonight that are not saved, we just commend them to You. Pray that they'll know what it is to be born again and to be forgiven of all their sin, that because of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, grant it. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, young people. The service is over. Thank you very much.